Let's look in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Okay? Matthew chapter 6. And I'm not going to read as I did last week. We've already set the table, so to speak, as we are talking about the priority of worship in our lives. And the idea that we're looking at in the priority of worship is we're going to try and, you know, ferret this thing out in the next couple of weeks. Of course, next week, next Sunday is what?
Mother's Day.
And so we will probably be given priority of worship. I'll tell you what, we got to throw some to the way of our moms, right? But nevertheless, we'll continue in this theme, God helping us, the priority of worship. And we said that, we need to, when we talk about the priority of worship, we're underlining, we're talking about it, at least initially, from the standpoint of priority, the priorities in our lives. And there are first things that go first. First things first. We made the statement, first things first. Second things first never work. I'll say that again. Second things first never work. And so we began speaking about that last week and talking about it from these passages of Scripture that ought to be very familiar to us. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6:33, where he says, "But seek first his kingdom." Remember? Some of us know this well. But seek first his kingdom. He says in the previous verses, you know, people are chasing after so many things. And what it amounts to is they're putting second things first. And then he says, "But you need to refocus. You need to get it straight here. As followers of me, you need to put first things first if your life is really going to connect and work. First things first." And he says that. "But you first seek his kingdom and his righteousness." And then after that comes what comes next. And that is, he says, and all these other things, he says, I'll make sure you get plugged into those things. Now, that's pretty cool. He says, you take care of the first things. He says, those second things, I'll be there for you. That's his promise to us. And so that's Matthew 6:33. And then, of course, we looked at Exodus and the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, and I would think that most of us feel this, that you look at the Ten Commandments, and it's something that you never say, well, they're outdated. You know, you never get that sense. You know, you pay no attention to them. You don't want to obey them. You want to just label them as something religious. Well, okay. But this whole sense of, you know, they no longer come into play. No, that's a hard thing to get at. It's like it's built into the warp and woof. It's built into the fabric of humanity, the Ten Commandments. And the first one that has to do with the priority of worship is what? You shall have what? No other gods. And then we connected that to what Jesus says in the New Testament when he says, where is it? In Mark 12, I believe it is, around verse 29 or so, where he says, here's the greatest commandment. And he says, you know, and it's like, which of the ten is the greatest? And Jesus says, here it is, here's the greatest. And he says, in so many words, he says, all of the commandments could be summed up in these first two. But he says, here's the greatest, and we know what the greatest is, right? You shall what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, with all your spirit, with all of your life. You're in 100%, you're not in it all. Love God. And so we, in looking at those passages of Scripture, we're able to connect there and come up with this whole idea of the priority of worship, the priority that we give to worship in our lives. First things first, second things never, never, ever work. And we see from the parable of the sower how that works. That is to say, where second things never work. In the parable of the sower, when the seed fell among thorns, it said that the seed started to produce fruit, as seeds will, thrown into soil. But it said because of the condition of the soil, there were other things there at the same time. And those other things outdid the good seed. And it says it grew up with it, and what did it do? It choked, you know? Everything that should have been going to the seed started going to the weeds, and the good plant, the good seed, died. And second things first never works. They choke out what really matters most in your life, in mine. Got it? Good. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as we are here now looking, I say it again, God, that in my life, in our lives here now, as we talk together, that something surprising would happen in each of our lives today. Father, that the words that are spoken, that somehow you would, Lord, you would speak into our lives and say, see that, Rulowitz, that fits right there. That's what I'm doing in your life. That's what I'm saying in your life. That's where I want to bring you. That's what I want to do in your life for you. And God, that it would be a surprise to us, a surprise in as much as good things happen. And wow, how cool is that? That would happen for us this morning as we now look into your word. Amen. Okay, so here we are. Now, I also made the statement as we kind of try to, you know, recover some of the things from last week and move on, is if you don't know where you're going, what? If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, okay? And so these are verses that I just read that will set the direction, set the course for our lives. These verses will. And, you know, the reality is that unless we have the Lord in our lives, our lives are aimless, really, regardless of the goals that we set in our lives, because regardless of the direction of our lives, it really ends up being purposeless unless God is in our lives. But these verses right here, they're our GPS for our final destination. To put first his kingdom, you know, that there's no other gods, that my life is given over to loving the Lord. And it's demonstrated not by just, oh, I love you, Lord, but how I live my life. Cool? Right? And we know that, right, about love. Love is not how many times you tell someone I love you. And you've heard me say this, and I'm always intrigued by, not so much intrigued by, I want to slap the person who says, I love you, but. Right? You know, you hear them say, you'll hear them say, you know, I love so-and-so, but, it's like, ooh, there's something wrong with that kind of love, right? But the other thing about it is that, you know, better than saying I love you is to what? Demonstrate it. And we're taught that time and time again. Demonstrate it. Love is an action word. And so, this is how it has to be, even in your relationship and mine with the Lord. You know, I love you, Lord, but God, you're somewhere on the list. Let me see where you are here, you know. Instead of it being very obvious, no, he's top shelf. You know, he's on the top of the list, okay? And so, but I want you to feel this in your life today, that these verses that we're talking about, here it is. This makes it so that I know where I'm going and I know how I'm going to get there. See, I know where I'm going. I know where God wants to bring me in my life. I know what God wants to do in my life. In these verses right here, boy, they give me direction. Okay? We really gotta have that foundational, and so many other things go into it, but just to hear me say that. And in John 14 and verse 6, to go along with this whole idea of finding our way in God, you know, in our walk with God, so that, you know, we don't get lost and never find our way. And Jesus says, and Jesus makes this awesome statement, and here's another one of those scripture verses that I can remember learning when I was just a kid, walking with the Lord and memorized quickly, where Jesus says, I am the way, you got it? I am the what? Truth, and I am the life. And I like the way Thomas Akempis puts it. He says this in thinking about that verse of scripture where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. And so that kind of puts it in perspective for us, doesn't it? On where we're going, what God has for us, the priority. Jesus is the priority of my life, you see? We talk about the priority of worship. Love the Lord your God. Well, I want to be all in for Jesus. He's the way. And if I don't follow that way, I'm lost. He's the truth. And if I don't know him as the truth, there's nothing to know. I remain in ignorance. I don't care what kind of information continues to come out and bombard our lives in this information technology age. Without knowing him, there is no, without knowing him is the truth, there is no knowing. And you talk about living. We don't live until we know Jesus. I am the life, he said. And so without him, without that life, there's no living. You know, he makes life worth living. Jesus does. And so we got to put that kind of thing in perspective when we talk about worship. Because remember now, when we talk about worship, we're talking about the everything of our lives, the everything, and all that composes my life, all of those things that compose my life, that are a part of my life, that we have to look at that as worship. I am a worshiper, which also includes, and in no way do we ever, you know, cast aspersions or make light of or put in any kind of marginal way what we do here on a Sunday morning or any time that we come together. How can we? When Jesus says, when two or three of you come together, what? I am there in the midst of you. And so heaven forbid that we should ever, you know, marginalize the worship that we're talking about when we come together. And so very important that we see these things as a community. We are nothing unless we worship together as a community. And so there are a lot of things that God is not. You know, when I think about God and his attributes, you know, what makes God God? And there are, you know, so many things that we think about when we think about God, but you ever think about what God is not? You know, for instance, God's not a liar. God cannot lie. He's not a promise breaker. It's impossible for God to break a promise. And we can go on. And as I think about these things in the context of what I want to say this morning and talking once again about the priority of worship, with the emphasis on priority, first things first, that God is no, watch, now, God is no chump, C-H-U-M-P. He's not a chump. Now, a chump is a person who's easily deceived, you know, you can pull the wool over their eyes, like, wow, what a chump, you know? You'll believe anything, you know, the moon is made of cheese, oh, it is, yeah, oh, yeah, sure, ooh, you know? And one thing for sure, the wool can never be pulled over God's eyes. He's no chump. As sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, what we sow today will come up in our lives tomorrow. Let me read a scripture verse. This is from the J.B. Phillips translation that says exactly that. It says that God is no chump, but it says it in these kinds of words. It says, "Don't." This is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be under any illusion. You cannot make a fool of God. God's not a chump. You can't fool him. You can't make a fool of him. And what is he being here? He says, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. If he sows for his own selfish nature, his harvest, if we could put it in these terms, if he lives for second things first, his harvest, it says, will be the death of him. It's not going to be a very good harvest in his life. But if he sows for the Spirit, or if he sows for first things first, the priority of worship in his life, it says he'll reap the harvest of everlasting life by that Spirit. And so this whole idea of you know, the investments of our lives, and in putting first things first and giving, you know, placing priority on what's most important, when we do that, we invest our lives in those things, right? What you think is most important, that's where you're going to give your time, that's where you're going to give your money, that's where you're going to give your attention. That's what has your life as our priority. And the thing that we have to see here is what he's saying in this scripture verse, and what I'm saying, you know, whatever you sow, you're going to what? You're going to reap. And so it is with the investments in our lives. Eventually, the payoff comes. Eventually, the payoff comes for the investments that we make with our lives. And what he's saying in this verse in Galatians is, good or bad, the investment will come. Good or bad. And so My exhortation, my counsel to us this morning is that, boy, we take a long, hard look at our worship. That you take a look at your worship, at your heart, and see, boy, are you making the right investments there? What's the priority of your life when it comes to worship? When it comes to this, seek first His. See, as it says there in 6:33, three words, seek first His, not seek first mine. Seek first His. And how is it that I understand idolatry? You know, idolatry isn't this kind of thing where, for most of us, where does, you know, I have this idol in the back room of my house and I pay homage to it. So people do. People do. There is that sort of thing that continues to happen. But with a lot of us, at least Christian people, we have respectable-looking idols, right? You know, we have respectable-looking idols. Those things that we give our time and attention to that are those that we classify as those second things first instead of first things first. And they're idols in our lives. And it becomes a false worship. And, you know, how it is that my life is, you know, the payoff, how the payoff comes when, you know, my whole investment of life, what I'm giving my life over to, And, you know, Sandra and I, we often talk, and we see some of the shallowness, and we see things that in people's lives that there's little substance there in their lives. And we talk and we reflect upon our own lives and we say, you know what? Boy, we never lived our lives like that. You know? Don't get me wrong, Sandra has her problems, but you know, I'm only joking, but the thing is that as we live our lives, you know, and this was before we were in ministry, when she was a little girl, when I was a young man, and you know, before we came, you know, where our preoccupation, our focus was, you know, caring, helping to care for God's people and ministry and so on, yet there still was this direction of our lives that we want to be all in. that we want our lives to be focused on obeying that first commandment. Love the Lord your God with everything you got and make everything else second to that. See, this is the way. Now, have we goofed? Have we tripped up? Has there been tension? Yes, there has been. But I'll tell you what, that's the focus of our lives. And I think that if you ask my kids, that is this the way your mother and father have always been? I would hope that they would say yes. And this is the way we've been. And so this is the only way that we know how to be. And this is the only way that we know as we speak and as we live our lives and try to, you know, rub off on other people, it's that this rubs off. See, that this rubs off. And what do I mean by this rubs off? That everything else in my life comes in a low second to this first in my life. And I tried to convey that to all of us last week by the little illustration. Can you see, you know, this young guy and this gal coming to the altar to be married and says, you know, forsaking all others, will you devote yourself, you know, exclusively only unto her? And he stops and he pauses and he says, well, you know, but I have this other thing and I have this other, you know, and she'll be in there. She'll be in the mix. I promise you, she'll be in the mix. And he looks at her and he says, I promise you, you know, you'll be in the mix. But I got this other, and I got, and you know, and this, and it. If she were a permit carrying, she should take it out and shoot him right there on the spot, you know. And, of course, how ridiculous that type of thing is. And the reality of that ridiculousness is oftentimes we get caught up. I have. Not perfect in this. To struggle to keep first things first. And so I want to be open to hearing and letting the Word of God work in my life so that the priority of worship is there. And so in the priority of this worship that we're talking about, first things first, and how it is that the worship of God must be top priority in my life. See, top priority. This is it. This is high-level priority. The worship of God is up there about everything. You know, I'll just throw this in there. It's like, you know, I know some people, you know, they plan things in their lives and so on. And they're making lists for all of these plans and whatever, and it's like God is nowhere to be found in there, in their plans. It's like, what? You talk about, oh, well, you know, this job, it's going to require a move in our lives, but it's more money, you know, more money, and it's a better location and all this stuff. And you ask the question, you know, where's God in this? Is it going to take you away from your relationship with Jesus? Well, you know, I can make it to church maybe once every quarter, and hopefully that will do. But oh, I'm going to read my Bible. Well, there's something fishy about that. That stinks fishy already, you know. And it's like willing to give up so quickly on eternal top priority stuff for temporary stuff. You hear what I'm saying? And it doesn't have to be that way. And then how I've met people, you know, where you talk to them, and it's like, you know, their considerations and what they're doing keeps God in there, you know. But, you know, we got this opportunity, and this thing here can work out like this, and we're looking at this. And, boy, I wonder, you know, what, and, oh, and, you know, and we've already, you know, I forget who it was. who were we talking to? I think it was Sue. Remember the conversation with Sue and Frankie's that day, and Todd's mom, Sue, we met up at Frankie's, and she was saying how, you know, she's looking forward to retirement eventually, and she's already looking into, you know, where she wants to live, down south, warmer climate, little snow, no snow, and she said, and then she says to me, could you put me in touch with, do you have any contacts with churches maybe in that area? Good thinking, you know, good thinking. And I said, well, we'll see here, you know, we'll see. Now, she's still got 10 years before she retires, but I love that commercial where the lady goes in, she's got 15 years, you know, she's her 15-year plan for retirement. I love that. That's like what our conversation with Sue was. But anyways, and there are people like that, and I know that you are like that as well. But just to highlight to you that this is what it means to love the Lord your God with everything you got. With everything you got. And with everything you got. With everything you got. Put that there. Yep. And so let me just put it this way, okay, as we wrap up this second installment, if you will. Okay? And it will go something like this. As I, you know, what do I got to put into it? What do I got to throw into the mix here? What do I got to put into it? And what I have to put into it, first of all, is that I have to put worship in its rightful place in my life. That's the first thing. And it is a matter of saying that. You know, how many of you, you know, I've done this, you know, where I make, you know, a life plan, you know, and I come up with a life mission. I've done that thing, wrote some things down, you know. I would encourage you to, as you say, you know, what goes into, you know, the priority of worship in my life. Simply, right, you know, I put worship as top priority in my life. I make worship top priority in my life. The worship of God is top priority. I think there has to be, you know, it's like the thing that we have to understand is that when God, and we talked about this, that there is something in all of us that wants to, let alone needs to, worship. Everyone worships something or someone. All of us do. We all have something. Because when God created us, He made us that we would choose Him as the one sole, exclusive object of our attention in worship. So it's there. And so He says now, but you got to put me there. Because God doesn't force any of us to worship Him. Amen. It's a free choice. The freedom is there for us to take. The freedom. So I put you first. I put you as top priority. Then here's the next one that we got to put. We got to put away those things that compete with our worship. Put away. We put away things that compete with our worship. And you got to look at it. Say, hey, you know what? What's got my attention more than God? What's got me going here that I feel this struggle between, you know, walking with God, walking with the Lord, worshiping Him, and those that I'm committed to? Is there something? Jesus said what? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two. He said you will love one and hate the other, and that's just the way it is. And then He named one of the gods that we so easily worship. He said you can't worship God and the love of money. That won't work. But there's so many others that we can put in there. And so, no, I love God and nothing else in competition with that love. Okay, so we put away those things that, are you with me? You know? And I think that we have to be honest to ourselves, boy, what's in competition? What's in competition for the exclusive worship of God in my life? If you know me, if you hang around with me enough, you know that I would hope that you would know. I'm not a killjoy. You know, I'm not like, oh, well, you know, it's this kind of, you know, you know, buttoned up collar, you know, religious fanatic type that is, you know, down on. No, it's not the kind of thing that I'm talking about, obviously. Hey, life, there's so much more to life that we can enjoy. It's amazing, but there are things that compete with that exclusive priority that we ought to be given to God. Here's another one. And this boils it down again to, or this not boils it down to, but this puts our focus back on this, the community of church, and that is this. We have to put into a church that expression of worship that demands that where, you know, the kind of thing that ought to be happening. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of us. And somehow there is sometimes this sensing. I think even as Mike said this morning, there are times when we come and it seems like we're over here, we're over there. Well, that's not people, you know, in our minds, in our emotions, we're all over the place, you know? From you know, me thinking about where I'm going to go to eat, where we're going to go to eat after the service, to maybe, you know, something bad going on between me and somebody else. You know? And I got a grudge, or I have bad stuff going on. And it makes us over here and over there. And so then, you know, it isn't two or three who are coming together. It's three or two or three who may be in the same room but are separated by all this other stuff, and Jesus isn't in the midst. You know? And once again, we're not talking about perfection. People who are coming together who are perfect. But people who are coming together, and there is this idea of, hey, you know what? We're community. We're family. And we're coming together for this time right here to give an expression of worship to God. And that's not to say that you have to conform to the way everybody else is worshiping. But it is to say that in your heart, from your heart, you're there expressing worship to God as we're together. Is that cool? Is that clear? Is that clear? You know? And so that is the priority of worship that I believe that we ought to have in our midst, making it a priority. And so I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today before God to be able to say, Lord, okay, here I am before you. And God, I'm putting the worship of God, I'm putting my worship of you where it belongs. Top priority. You know? And here's the deal, all right? And we're going to pray. In some ways, in a lot of ways, when we talk about this priority that we put on worship, it isn't that, well, God is number one. You know, we got the list, right? One through whatever. So God's number one. So what's going to be number two? Well, I don't know. You could, you know, whatever. It's in the second place. Well, whatever. Okay, third place, fourth place, and on we go. And that works, but Here's the thing, though. So God's up there, you know, however we look at it, in the first place. The better way to look at it is God fills every line. Every line. See? Whether we say, well, you know, is the traditional way of looking at it is, well, God's in the first place, my family's in the second place, right? The third place is what? Church. Traditional way of looking at it. Then fourth place, I think it is, am I saying it right? You know, then, you know, my job, my hobbies, whatever that, you know, that's how it goes. And, but rather to look at it as on every line, God is first, however the mix goes. Let's stand together and pray. Thank you for listening so intently this morning. And so, to challenge you as we pray now, God, You're the priority of my life. Remember what the psalmist prayed, Psalm 86:11. He said, Lord, give me an undivided heart. An undivided heart. That it's you and nothing else. You know? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you see our lives. You see what we live with, God. And you see the struggles in our lives and those things that come into our lives that present themselves as competition for that top place that you want in our lives. And I pray, God, that you'll help us to sort it out this morning. I pray, God, that you'll work in our lives by your Holy Spirit and to hear so clearly, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added into your life. Father, help us to get a hold of that. So now, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people. God, as we go off and running now into this day, into this week, what this week holds for us and decisions we got to make and work that we have to do and people we're going to be connecting with. God, in all of those things, we're asking that you would, Lord, that this word would continue to just drip into our lives. Speak to us. Bless your people, though, in all of those situations. Amen. God bless you.